Masechta Tainis, Daf Vav Amud Aleph. Taisis Dir Maschel Malko Shlav Racha, O Eino Ela Shemapil Habatim, O Meshaber Haylonos V'chulei. The Gemara, quoting the Pasuk in Kriyat Shema, V'nasatim Et Haaretzchem Be'ito, Yoreh Amalkosh, V'asavta Degenecho V'sir Roshachov Yitzarecha, that we follow Dvar Hashem, that Hashem will give us the Yoreh and the Malkosh at the proper time. And as the Gemara discussed earlier, Yoreh is the first rain, and Malkosh is the last rain. So the Gemara here quotes various brisos interpreting these words, what the etymology of these words are, that of Yoreh and that of Malkosh. So Gemara had pointed out that Yoreh is Lebracha, and the etymology of it indicates that it is Lebracha. And the same is true for Malkosh, that it's also a helpful rain, and the etymology of that word also indicates that it's a helpful rain. So the Gemara explores the possibility that maybe Yoreh actually means something negative, that it destroys various crops. And there the language of the Gemara, which is going to be important for the Tosfos, is maybe Yoreh means Shemashir es haperos, umashtif es hazroim, umashtif es haylonos. That it causes the fruits to drop and to wash away the seeds and to flood the trees. So the Gemara says that since it says Yoreh and Malkosh in the same pasuk, so it's compared to Malkosh, and just as Malkosh is for bracha, so too Yoreh is lebracha. So then the Gemara challenges that maybe Malkosh is also lera, and the language of Malkosh somehow implies that it's mapil es habatim, or meshaver es ilonos, or mal es eskoin, that it destroys the homes, causes them to fall, and breaks the trees, and brings up some kind of form of locust. Again, Rashi fills in exactly what the etymology would be, that Yoreh, Lera, would be from the language of Yoro Yireh, like throwing off a building, or the language of Yireh's Chetz, of shooting an arrow, and Malkosh, which the Gemara later derives from a word mol, which is to circumcise or to cut. So cuts down the houses. So maybe that's what Malkosh means. To cut, to there, the Gemara later interpreted in a good way, that it causes us to be humble due to the rains of the language of Mal, that it circumcises, so to speak, our heart. But maybe Mal means that it cuts down the houses. So the Gemara explains that that's impossible, because the Pesukim in Yoel indicate that Yoreh is Lebracha, and since Malkosh is listed in the same Pasuk with Yoreh, so Malkosh has to be Lebracha. So this is the Dibur Maschil of Tosis, that in the Havmin of the Gemara of Malkosh, that maybe it's Lera, that it's Mapil Batim, Meshaber Ilanos, etc. So Tosis has the following question on that Havmin. It's Tzorach Iyun, needs analysis, Amaylo Ka'amar, Meshaber Agronos, Umashir Esaperos, Kid Le'el. Why didn't it include the bad things that the Gemara had a Havamina that Yoreh was about? To recall, the list that we have in our Gemara about Yoreh is Mashir es haperos, Mashtif es hazroim, Umashtif es haylonos. Apparently, Tosis had a somewhat different girsa, and also included in that list of the bad things that Yoreh did was also Meshaber Gronos, namely that it broke or destroyed the Gorin, either the threshing floor itself and destroyed it, or the aftermath of the threshing, meaning the pile of wheat after it was threshed, that it would break that and destroy that. So apparently Tosis had that as one of the bad things as a Havamina that Yoreh would do. So now Tosis says, why did the Gemara have to totally change the list and say that Malkosh destroys the homes and smashes the trees and brings up grasshoppers? Why couldn't it include some on the list earlier of Meshaber Agronos and Mashir Saperos, destroying presumably the pile of wheat and causing the fruits to fall down? So Tosfos leaves that as a kasha. Mefarshim note, specifically Rabbi Yaakov Emden, is quoted in the back of the Gemaras, that Rashi already addressed this question and pointed out, because that's impossible. Rashi and Dibur Maschil, Malkosh Lebracha, pointed out, she efshel ledarsho l'shaber agronos l'hashir peros she'enem etzuyin v'osa perek. That Malkosh can't be interpreted to mean that it destroys the Goren and causes the fruits to fall off, because those are not common in Nisan. Don't really have too many fruits growing on the trees in Nisan. Flowers are budding, but there are no fruits there. The same thing with the Goren, that the Goren is not available in Nisan. Later Rashi as well, Shemapil Sabatim, he says the same thing. Embo takolas granos vasharas peros lefishi efshelo. Doesn't have that disaster of destroying the Goren and the falling of the fruit, because that's impossible. So, they're different gersos, in those of Hara Gemara as to whether or not at least the Goren issue really belongs in the Rashi, because maybe the Goren does exist in Nisan. My agricultural knowledge is somewhat limited, so I can't really say. Rashi earlier said that a Goren is not Matsui in Mar Cheshvan either. And here he's saying that it's not in Nisan as well. So when is the Goren? Perhaps in Tishrei. That leads some to change the Girsa, that actually a Goren is common in Nisan, in which case Tosis is Kasha on Malkosh, which is in Nisan. Of why didn't it say it's Meshabah HaGronos, in would be appropriate. But the Masha Sepero, so then Rashi's approach still would stand, because there aren't generally fruits in Nisan on the trees. And therefore the Gemara couldn't list it. So somewhat of a Tzorachian on Tosis's Tzorachian. The Gemara records a braisa with the three machlokes tanoim as to within the yora, within the first rains. So there are three sub rains within the first rains on different dates. The first opinion was the view of Reb Meir, and that is that Revir Rishona, the very first of the first rains, was on the third day of Mar Cheshvan. The middle one was on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. We note the four-day gap between. And the last rain of that first round is on the 17th day of Mar Cheshvan. We note with a 10-day gap in between the 7th and the 17th. Rabbi Yehuda held that the numbers are as follows: the 7th, the 17th, and the 23rd. So between the 7th and the 17th, we have a 10-day gap. Between the 17th and the 23rd, we have a 6-day gap. Rabbi Yossi held the numbers are as follows. The 17th is the first, the 23rd is the second, and Rosh Chodesh Kislev, or typically on the 30th day of Mar Cheshvan, which then becomes Rosh Chodesh Kislev, is the third. So here we have, between the 17th and the 23rd, we have a 6-day gap, and between the 23rd, and the 30th, or what becomes Rosh Chodesh Kislev, we have a 7-day gap. The numbers I mentioned were only including the second endpoint, not the first. If you count both endpoints, then the numbers will go up by one. So the Gemara quotes a braisa in the name of Shimon Gamliel, that if you have rain within the first set of Yora in the Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, that rains for 7 days straight, so there's somewhat different gersos in the Gemara, but the version we have is Atamona ben Revia Rishon Oshnia Oshlishis, that you count the first rain, the Revia, of the first and the second subset of that, the Revia Rishona and the Shnia, Oshlishis, as well as the third. So that gersa can't work, because there are clearly more than 7 days between the first Revia and the third Revia, according to all the Shitot. So Rashi's gersa was Rishona Oshnia Oshnia Oshlishis. That there's a 7-day gap between the first and the second, between the second and the third. So the Gemara says, which Tanaic view does that correspond to? So the Gemara said, Kiman ki Rabbi Yossi. It follows Rabbi Yossi's view. So Rashi points out that has a follow Rabbi Yossi's view, because again, Rabbi Yossi's numbers were 17, 23, and 30. So for Rashi, between 17 and 23 is a gap of 6 days, but if you count both endpoints, so that's a full 7 days. 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23 is 7 days. And between Chav Gimel and Lamed, if you don't count both endpoints, if you count only one of them, so you have 7 days, and if you count both, it's 8 days. So Rashi says that could also work out, because we'll start from Chav Gimel, then we have Chav Gimel, Chav Dalet, Chav Hei, Chav Vav, Chav Zayin, Chav Ches, Chav Tes, which is a total of 7 days. So that's 7 days, not including the other endpoint of the 30th day of Mar Cheshvan, which is then Rosh Chodesh Kislev. And that's also called 7. That was Rashi's understanding of this Gemara. Tosis quotes two other interpretations, apparently unhappy with Rashi's interpretation. Again, it's likely that Tosis did not see this Rashi, so he doesn't really address it. Tosis writes, Kevin lo pasku zayin yomim, since the rain didn't stop for 7 days, within Rabbi Yossi's view, the Ein Bein Yud Zayin Lachav Gimel Ela Zayin Yomim. Tosis now counts them as we did, Yud Zayin, Yud Ches, Yud Tes, Chav, Chav Aleph, Chav Beis, Chav Gimel, for a total of 7 days. We note that the Dibur Maskil of Tosis is Atamona Behen Revia Rishona Ushnia. He did not mention anything about the Shlishis, so he addresses that between the first and the second Revia, within Rabbi Yossi's view, works perfectly. That's a full 7 days, exactly 7 days. Tosfos continue, Avalo Garcino Neshlishis. You should not have that version in the Gemara. Sharei im Yaskel b'chav Gimel, Again, Rabbi Yossi's days being 17, 23, and 30. So between the second and the third is between the 23rd and 30. So I'm Yaschel B'chav Gimel, Yorod U'Zayin Yom Ritzufim, and they fell for 7 consecutive days. Akati lo timsa revia shlishis. So you're not going to reach the third revia. The Ika Chesiyamim, because there you're going to have 8 days. Michav Gimel ad Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Again, the full count being Chav Gimel, Chav Dalet, Chav Hei, Chav Vav, Chav Zayin, Chav Ches, Chav Tes, which is 7. And only on day 8 will you get to Lamed Mar Cheshvin, which then becomes Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So unlike Rashi, who was happy with that, that's also called 7, even if you don't count the second endpoint, but Tosis is unhappy with that because he wants to count both endpoints, and that will be a total of 8. So that's why he takes off the Girsa of Shlishis, and he is Goreis that Rav Shimon Gamliel is only talking about the first and the second, which fits perfectly that it's exactly 7 according to Rav Yossi. Just to spell out a little better, that in the other Tanoim, whether it's Rav Meir or Rav Yehuda, so there, those numbers don't work out at all. Because for a mayor, the numbers are 3, 7, and 17. So between 3 and 7, even counting the endpoints, you have 5. So that's not a week. Between 7 and 17, counting the endpoints, you have 11, which is not 7. So for a mayor, clearly, Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel's statement of a week's of rain, counting 2 of them, doesn't work. For Reb Yehuda, whose numbers are 7, 17, and 23, so 7 to 17 is 11 days, counting the endpoint, that doesn't work. And 17 to 23 actually is 7 days.
But Tosis in this explanation is not entertaining a girsa of Shnia and Shlishis.
So if Rav Shimon Gamliel says Mishon or Shnia, so it can't be Rabbi Yehuda. So now Tosis quotes another approach. The Anche in Arvona Gorsin, some of the Balei Tosis living in Arvona, so they had the following girsa, Gishamim, Sheyardu, Zayin Yamim, Ze'achar Zeh, Atamona behen revia shnia ushlishis. So they have the opposite girsa. Not rishona ushnia, but shnia ushlishis. So how does that work out with the numbers of 23 to 30, which Tosis pointed out is really 8? Ketzad. Haksham ischila behemtsayom. If they start in the middle of the day of day 23 of Chav Gimel Mar Cheshvin, v'yardu zayin yom resufin, and they fall for 7 consecutive days. So the Bach slightly changes the girsa. Acharkach, and after those 7 consecutive days, according to our girsa, im kain, if so, if it's 7 consecutive days, meaning 24-hour period days, im kain, yerdu ad chatzi ayom shel Rosh Chodesh meis leit. So then they're going to fall until midday of Rosh Chodesh, again, from one time to the other, meaning 24-hour period. So if you start at Chav Gimel, in the middle of the day, and then you count 7 days, 7 24-hour periods, so then you actually will get to midday of Lamed Mar Cheshvin, which then becomes Rosh Chodesh Kislev. To do the math, starting with 23, so then you have 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, which then becomes Rosh Chodesh, day 1 of Kislev, which is a full 7 days. So here the Girsa of Shnei Shlishis can work out, in which case the first gap from the first to the second of Yitzayin Chav Gimel, which is actually 7 days counting the endpoints and not 24-hour days, so then that wouldn't work. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't work out because Rabbi Yehuda's numbers were 7, 17, and 23. Between 17 and 23 is 7 days, but not 7 24-hour days. So that's why that would be rejected. In sum, we have 3 perushim. Rashi had the girsa Rishon or Shnia, or Shnia or Shlishis. And one is 7 days counting the endpoints. One is 7 days not counting the second endpoint. For Rashi, that's acceptable. That's called 7 days. Tosis' first shot was that we're only going with Rishon or Shnia, because that's 7 days counting the endpoints, and that's what the Gemara is driving at. And according to the Chachmei Ravona, we are only Gorei, simply speaking, Shnei Ushlishis, and that refers to 7 24-hour day periods. Masechta Tainis, Daf Vav and Beis, Taisu Yomaschel, Da Azli Atigra. The Gemara was discussing various nafkaminis of the Revia Shnia, the second reign of the group of the first reigns under the title of Yore, and one of the nafkaminis had to do with Matnas Anim, the various presents that are given to the poor from agricultural produce. Gemara quoted a Mishnah, Masechta Peah. The part of it that related to Revia Shnia had to do with Peret and Olos regarding the grapes and the kerem and zesim, and that is connected to when the second rains fall. But tangentially, the Mishnah brought up the earlier part of the Mishnah of when all people are mutter to enter the fields and take the remaining leket chikhan peah. Leket, of course, the grain that's drops when the harvester is harvesting. If one or two stalks drop, so then that's leket chikha, the bundles of wheat that are left, and peah, the corner of the field. So of course the Aniyim are the ones that have the rights to it, but Misha Yelcho and Amushis, the Mishnah Masechta Peah tells us, so then it's mutter for everyone to come in. Who are these Namushos? So the Gemara quoted on Machlokas to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan said it's Sabi the Azli Atigra, which Tosis will define in a moment. And Rish Lakish says Lakuti bas Lakuti, those who are gathering after the gatherers. The point being that these Aniyim will be taking very thoroughly anything that's left. And whatever's left after they took, the other Aniyim certainly have given up hope because they think they will pick up everything left. And therefore there's Yeush. That's why it's brought up in the second parak of Metzia, in the Sugi of Yeush Lomidas. And therefore everyone's allowed to then go into the field once the Nemushis pass through. So within Rabbi Yochanan's definition of Nemushis, that is Sabi the Asli Atigra, so both Rashi and Tosis explain similarly. See it inside the Tosis, Pirish Shaholchem and Maklos Vinishanam Aleim. That the elderly are walking on walking sticks and leaning on them. And then Tosis quotes for Omar, and he says, somewhat of a mystery who the he is, could be it's a version of Rashi that they had perhaps from another Masechta. We noted already the Maritz Chayis that the Tos didn't have the Rashi in our Masechta. I checked in Bob Metzia, the Rashi doesn't comment there in this regard, quoting what he's about to quote the Targum. So it has to be someone else, perhaps it was his Rebbe. The Targuma Machzik Bepelech, the Targum of the phrase Machzik Bepelech, which is in the context of David Melech, where Yoav ben Tsruya, the famous general of David Melech, had killed Avner. And David was upset about that. Avner, the former general of Shaul. So after Shaul had died, so David HaMelech was approached by Avner to join his camp, and Yoav suspected that Avner had evil designs, and in the end, Yoav killed Avner. Avner had formerly killed Yoav's brother, and David was very upset about that, and he cursed Avner that his descendants should have various troubles befall them. Tzora, Zov, and all kinds of Tzoros, those killed by the sword, among the Tzoros are Machzik Bepelech. Their quotes is now quotes, the Targuma of Machzik Bepelech in Sefer Shmuel, Tichsev Gabe Yoav, is written regarding Yoav, again the curses that David had pronounced on him, Havi Ba'Tigra, or other versions have Hai Ba'Tigra, which means supported by Tigra, meaning supported by some kind of walking stick. A Pelech refers to a walking stick, even though it's also used in the Gemara to mean a spindle, which is used for spinning the fibers into thread. In Eish Yischiel we have presumably the common denominator is because the pelech is a rather long, I think, metal stick with a ball on top, so it's similar to a walking stick. So by extension, it comes to mean a spindle, but it also means a walking stick. So what David HaMelech is telling to Yoav, that his descendants should always have to walk on sticks, Chalila, whether older or younger, and they should have feet problems. So in this context, we're talking about the Zakenim who are walking on sticks, walking very slowly through the fields, and cleaning out the whole field from the Lekka Chikman Peya, and hence whatever's left after they went through, so then it's mutter for everyone. Taisiv Maschel Bashvili Rishus, and this also is going to be read in conjunction with the next Taisis, Achetereid Revi Ashnia. The Gemara had given another Nafkamina of the Second Rains concerning Shvili Rishus, quoted in the name of Rav Papa. Let's give a little background that's quoted by Rashi. Tosis is a little briefer here than Rashi is. The Gemara in Baba Kama tells us that there were various Tanaim, 10 conditions that Yehoshua had made when he divided up the land of Eretz Yisrael. And one of them is that within reason, people should allow people to walk through their fields. Hence the concept of Shvili Rishus, the fields on which there is permission to walk through. But there's only permission when it's not going to harm the fields. So that's what Tosfos explains. B'Shvili Rishus Pirish B'Derech She'Osu Derech Hasadus V'Akromim. The pathways that are made to go through the fields and the vineyards. And that is only permissible to go through Achetereid Revi Ashnia until the second rains. Tos explained in the next year of Maschil, Mikan Ve'elech Maschilu. From that time onward, it will damage the fields if you walk through it. Rashi elaborates here that from that time, so the seeds that were planted are already going to begin to sprout and, or at least take root under the ground, and if people walk through, they would damage them. This also was tied into the Revi Ashnia, where the Gemara quotes a Mishnah, this time from the ninth parak of Masechta Shvius. Actually, several Girsaot. The version that's quoted in our Gemara is somewhat different from what's quoted in the Mishnah, but we'll go with the version of our Gemara. Ad Masai Nenin Visarfin Beteven of Akashal Shvius, the Mishnah reads, Ad Sheteri Revi Ashnia. So the context is what's called the Zman HaBiur, meaning that when you benefit from the various agricultural produce that's kadosh during the Shemitah year, so when the time of Bior comes, namely the time that it is no longer available in the fields, so then you are no longer allowed to be nene from it at home. So that's what the Mishnah says, that how long can you keep this tevin and kash at home? And achetere devia shnia. As Tos is going to explain, when the second rains of the eighth year come, so that is going to totally destroy whatever remaining straw is available in the field. And then, as the Gemara darshins, Tos is going to quote this drasha, so we'll quote the pasuk and the drasha. It says concerning Shemitah, V'liv hem techa, v'lachayo asher ratzecha, tiyeh kol tvua so lecho. That to your animal, meaning the domesticated animal that you have at home, v'lachayo, to the wild animal, meaning the one that is not domesticated, is in the field, so all the produce will be to eat, meaning Shemitah produce is not aser. You're allowed to consume it. The animal's allowed to consume it, at least if it's animal food. And the wild animals will consume it in the fields, even though you don't have control over them. There it says that all the tvua, all the crops of Shemitah should be for those behemot and chayot, and of course for people as well. Each according to their own. That which is fit for people, that which is fit for animals. So the Gemara makes a drasha, that as long as there's produce available in the field for the chaya, for the wild animals, for the undomesticated animals, then you're allowed to feed the Shemitah produce that's fit for animals to your behemoth, to your domesticated animal. But once you don't no longer have it in the fields, so then you have to get rid of the reserve stock that you have at home. So that's the drasha, that once you have the revia shnia, you're no longer going to have the tevin and kash in the fields for the chayot, so therefore you have to get rid of it, of your supply. Again, different sheets is what beer is, whether literally to destroy it or just to be mafker it, and then you're able to actually retake possession. So now Tos has the following comment, which actually, as we shall see, is dependent on a machlokas rishon. Tos reads as follows. Pirish, bishana shminis, v'chule, referring to the eighth year, etc. Hard to know what Tos means by v'chule. Maybe v'chule means that within the eighth year, so then when the Chaya no longer finds it in the field as a result of the Revia Shnia falling, so then you have to get rid of it for your behemoth as well. So Tos is bothered by the following kasha. Tevin and kash don't grow on trees. They're part of the leftovers from crops. So there is a famous concept called Svichim, which basically means that during Shemitah, one is allowed to eat all the fruits that grow basically automatically from the trees. And as Tos is going to get involved in different shitot, according to several shitot at least, on a Torah level, one is allowed to eat the svichim, or the vegetable or crop produce that grow by themselves, from the leftovers of the previous year, or scattered seeds that fall into the field during the seventh year, and that's called svichim. So those svichim are kadosh, you can't work the land, but they will be mutter min haTorah. So you have several different opinions as to where we go from there. So there's one opinion that the Chacham left well enough alone and they remain permitted. That seems to be the view of Rabbi Shimon, which is quoted in that same Mishnah that's quoted here, the earlier part of it, in the Mishnah in Shvius, Perek Tes, Mishnah Zayin. Although, as Tos is going to quote a Gemara in Psachim, there seems to be a different version of Rabbi Shimon where he actually prohibits it, at least Midrabanan. But there is an opinion that Svichim are totally mutter, even Midrabanan. And then there's a view on the opposite extreme, Rabbi Akiva, that Svichim are awesome in HaTorah. So that's what Tos is trying to navigate our sugya, that the Tevin and the Kash, they don't grow on trees, so they should be in the category of Svichim. And therefore they should be usher to use on Shemitah altogether. So why then is the Mishnah getting involved in a discussion of when beer is, when you have to remove the reserve supply? It should be usher to use totally because of at least the rabbinic prohibition of Svichim. So to that, Tos is now comment, Svir Lei, and the author of the Mishnah holds, Kimanda Omar Sviches Royim Mutarim, that the Svichim, those seed crops that are not trees, that grow by themselves, are mutter. They're not only not osman atara, they're even mutter midrabanan. So now Tos is right, somewhat tangentially, because beyond the scope of our sugya, Ula Rabbi Akiva, the Omar Sviches Royim Asurim Mikra, according to Rabbi Akiva, that the Svichim are awesome in a Torah, and what Pasuk is that? The Pasuk is about to quote, Hein lo nizra velo nesof, that we will not plant and we will not be able to gather the crops from the field. Kedem Afaresh or Kedem Afurish, Bemesechta, Psachim, Perak Mog, Shanago, and of Nun Alef Mebeis, where Rabbi Akiva makes that drasha, that we are not able to gather from the field, even the Svichim that grows by itself, because they are awesome in a Torah. We don't pass like Rabbi Akiva, but that is Rabbi Akiva's view. So Tos point out, well, how will Rabbi Akiva, not how will he navigate the Mishnah, because Tos already said that the Mishnah is going according to the one who holds the Svichim Talmud Mutter, but how will he navigate the Pasuk? Because again, to recall, the Pasuk reads, So it sounds like a tevua, which simply speaking doesn't refer to trees, but refers to crops, that it's edible and you can give it to your behema and the chaya is going to eat it on its own. Okay, that's not such a difficulty that the chaya is going to eat it. It's not bound by halacha. But the behema is what you're giving the behema to. And by extension, the people that eat it to, that which is roi for people. So how could the pasuk say that tevua is for the behema to eat? So Tosis explains, that Rabbi Kiva will establish that verse talking about behema and chaya eating the svichim, b'svichei ilanos, that the produce that grows on its own from the trees. Aye, it says tvua. So let's continue. V'lav davka tvua kamar. It doesn't mean regular tvua of vegetables or of grain. Ela kegon tvua sakorin. The Torah uses that term as well, and you see that the term tevua is somewhat of a generic, even though it's normally used for things that don't have a trunk, but it also could be used for vines and, by extension, fruit trees, tahinu ilanos, which are trees, of course. Aval svichei zroim asurim, but svichim that are from seeds, crops, in the classic sense of grain, according to Bekiva, we also mean a Torah. So this latter part of Tos is really tangential to our sugya. What's directly relevant to our sugya is that according to the Manda Omer that Tzvicham are Aser, whether they're Aser in a Torah like Rabbi Kiva, whether Aser the Rabbanah, which is the accepted view, so that Mishnah that says that you're allowed to benefit from the straw, the Tevin and the Kash, until the Zman HaBior, so that would not be in accordance with those views that Tzvicham are Aser, whether in a Torah or the Rabbanan, but the third view that Tzvicham are Tali Mutter. So we paskin that Tzvicham are actually Aser the Rabbanan. So according to that, we would not be able to accept this Mishnah. I'm just looking, and I found that the Rambam in Perek Dalet, Halacha Dalet of Mishnah Torah, so he obviously did not go with the approach of Tosus. And based on this Mishnah, he did not want to box this Mishnah into holding the Svichem HaMutter totally. So he maintains, and indeed, Rav Chaim Konyevsky in his beautiful Sefer, Derech Amuna, points out that it seems to be two opinions in the Yerushalmi. And the Rambam goes with the approach that Tevin and Kash, there was no gzeira of svichim made on it. Because the reason that the gzeira of svichim, the rabbana, was made is that people shouldn't plant during Shemitah and claim that it was leftover growth from the previous years and the seeds of the previous years. So if we prohibit the main grain that grows on top of the tevin and kash, right, you have a stalk of, let's say, the wheat, the barley. So the grain on top is the tevua and the tevin and the kash is what grows below. So once we ban the seeds from being grown for the purpose of using it for flour, etc., to eat that grain, so that is going to discourage people from planting it during Shemitah, because it would be rare that people are going to plant crops just for the purpose of animal food. They use the leftovers and the regular crops. But if there's no incentive to plant the regular crops, because it's going to be us to use anyway, so then there's going to be no incentive to plant just for Tevin and Kash. And that's why they didn't prohibit the Svichim of Tevin and Kash. And hence, the simple reading of the Mishnah is against Tosus, who assume that this Mishnah that allows Tevin and Kash is going with the approach of Svichim and Mutter. The Rambam holds that Tevin and Kash is Mutter, even according to the one who holds Svichim is Usser, at least the one who only made a gzera, they're abundant on it. And that is indeed seemingly the way we were paskin. The Gemara quoted the statement of Rav Chisda that rain that falls before va'otzar, which is a poetic way of pointing out before Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, as Tos is going to explain, ein behem mishum va'otzar. So that is not considered a drought, as long as there is rain that falls before Ma'ariv. So Abaya clarifies that that's only relevant to Ma'ariv, Otsa de Urta, Abel Kodem, Otsa de Tzafra, but rains will fall before Kriyash Mishal Shacharis, so that indeed does not mitigate a drought. And that's consistent with the statements of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yitzchak, as we'll see, Tosas like different Girsa, that the clouds in the morning, they're not really significant, quoting a pasuk in Hosea, Anane Boker, or Anan Boker is disappointing. So, Tos explain, Kelomar meaning, Sheyarduk Shaman Kodun Kriyash Mashal Arvis. That's what's meant by Va'otza de Urta, where we say Vatzar Tashamayim in the second parak. Avokodim Shal Shachris, Yesh Bemishim Va'otzar, that those rains do not indicate the lack of drought. Kid Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak, again, Argir says Rav Yehuda Bar Yitzchak, Tos said Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, again, quoting the Pasuk in Hosea, that the Anan Boker is disappointing and does not really give proper rain. The Gemara had quoted the statement of Rav Yehuda that it's good if Teves is Armalta, meaning it's like a widow, meaning that it doesn't rain. And the different explanations given why that's good, that it shouldn't rain during Teves. And one of the explanations given is Lo Bairi Tarbitzi. So Tosis, going with the second shot of Rashi, explains she'ein aginos reikim mizroyim, that Bairi, language of Sdebur, an empty field, so that's the language of rake, and tarbitzi, meaning the cabbage patch, so to speak. The gardens are not empty from seeds. Apparently, as Rashi explains, those gardens require some irrigation, but not too much. And if there's massive downpours of rain in Teves, and that would ruin the growths of the seeds in the gardens, and therefore they will be empty from seeds, meaning they'll be ruined. So that's lobairi tarbitzi, as a result of not having rain in Teves, that will allow those vegetables to grow. Rashi interestingly quotes a first pshat, nothing to do with gardens, but the tarbitzi referring to our batzis haTorah, that the Talmid HaChachamim would be traveling on the roads to get to the Batei Medrash in Teves, and if it would be very rainy, that would be very difficult for them to get there. So, lo bairi tarbitzi, that the marbitzi Torah should not be empty from the roads, this way having a clear path as a result of rain not falling in Teves.